Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, listeners. I'm having some technical difficulties with the switchboard, so I am not sure whether or not you are hearing, and I am working on getting that sorted out. So if you are there, just bear with the technology until I get on the air. I am not sure what is happening here. So I am on the telephone trying to get on the switchboard, and I am not sure what is happening. So if you just bear with me, and we should be up and running hopefully soon. So just hang in there. I am not sure whether my guest is on the phone, because I cannot see my switchboard is a blank. So I just got off the computer, and now I am back on. Good morning.
How are you?
I am having technical difficulties, so I am glad I eventually got on. I'm to the opening music, and then we're going to go.
Okay, great.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of
Good morning, listeners, and I apologize for the tardy start. I've been on here since 20 to 10 and trying, and I just had some challenges with the technologies this morning, but thank God I'm up and running. I do apologize to Chef Miles for having you wait. I don't know whether or not you were hearing what I was saying when I wasn't up. Were you hearing me?
I was definitely hearing you speaking.
Okay, so that's good. It was just the computer. Technology is good, and then sometimes they just hit the wrong nerve. Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
I am doing great. And yourself?
I am wonderful. I was just looking outside, and I said, man, all the golden leaves are gone. With all the rains and everything we've been having, all the leaves are on the ground. So I don't know what it is like up in your part of the state. I know this is such a gorgeous time in New England, so I don't know what the fall foliages are in your area.
Well, yeah, we're up here in Connecticut, and it is absolutely beautiful. The leaves are about 80% gone off the trees, but, you know, we still have the sweeping and the blowing to take care of and bag.
Yes,
up.
Oh, please, that's the part we don't like. We love the fall for the colors, but the cleaning up, we We always complain a little. I want to give a shout out and a welcome to Tell It Like It Is. Thank you for waking up so early. He's out in LA and he's up here to join us. So I want to say thanks to Tell It Like It Is for waking up. Well, Chef Miles, thank you so much for coming on. You know it's coming up to Turkey Day and everything. And for the people who have not listened to your last, the last conversation we had when you were on the show, just remind them briefly about who you are and what you stand for and all that good stuff.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. Again, this is Adrian Miles from Miles Catering, and we're up in Connecticut area. We service the Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York off-premise catering company. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the holiday period coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, the different Christmas holidays, the different dishes that we can make. And I welcome any person to call in and with questions. I'm here for you.
Yes, Adrian, I got to tell you, there is Chef Kyle, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. He's a young man I met at an event down in New York, and he's over in the Jersey area. And I encourage him to come on this morning, so he can listen to you and you both can, you know, establish a relationship.
Well,
so I hope he comes on.
Thanks for that invitation.
Yes. So, you know, in I'm from Jamaica, as you know. And, in Jamaica, we look on the holidays differently. Of course, we do not have Thanksgiving that we celebrate, but every day in the West Indies when we wake up is Thanksgiving. Right?
Yeah, and growing up in Barbados myself, I only learned about Thanksgiving when I came to America about 20 years ago. As far as turkeys, I mean, we only saw turkeys around Christmas time. And to tell you the truth, somewhere in the middle of maybe October, November, we start to buy the young turkeys and we raise them primarily just to kill them for Christmas.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
And that was our turkey. And I grew up knowing turkeys as being white, you know, with white feathers. Here,
yep.
We have wild turkeys. Yeah.
All kind of turkeys we have. But as a child growing up, you know, I love Christmas because there was a special type of bread that is made in Jamaica. And Christmas time in the morning, they cook steaks and some pork, and it was 2 meat for Christmas morning. And each child will get a whole bread for his or herself. So it was a great time.
Yes.
I thank you for coming on. And let's just talk about what the holiday means to you and your family. Because now that we are living here in a different country, we have a whole different meaning for the holiday, and for each person, it's different. What does it mean for you?
I am so happy around the holiday period. Here, being in America, I get to appreciate the holidays on a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Barbados, yeah, we decorate the Christmas tree, but it's always a fake Christmas tree, you know? We put up lights, but they're recycled every year until we can, you know, the bulbs go out, but we still continue to recycle them.
That's
whereas
right.
Here in America, it is so wonderful in that we can actually go to the farm, and we do that every year, or we try to do it every year. We go to the farm, and we just run through the farm. It's so much fun with the kids. You bring the dog, and you let the dog run through the farm, and the kids run through the farm, and everybody's the primary objective that day is to find the best tree. And
mm-hmm.
It's such a good experience to see the children. Just everybody's like, how about this one? How about that one? And there's so many trees to choose from.
Yes.
But eventually, you know, we cut down and everybody share in the cut and down process. And,
yes.
And we put the tree on the truck or in the van, whatever, and we bring it home and dress it up. That is so, it really, and then to have that smell, that fresh pine smell, you know, in the house throughout the holiday season, it is great. So we're a little bit more fortunate here in America to be able to take advantage of those things that we didn't take advantage of growing up.
Back home, yes. The other thing, and I don't know whether or not you did it in Barbados, but we did it in, and I think people still do in Jamaica, in the rural parts, we would mix white lime, and then we would whitewash the stones around the garden and up the walkway.
Oh, wow, that is actually new to me. I've never experienced that.
Yeah, and the trunk of the trees, and then when I came here, I realized we were making snow. Isn't that something?
That is something. And even Carolyn, you know, I remember growing up and a bunch of people, men and women, children, you know, could be 20, 30 people traveling around neighborhood, house after house, and knocking on your door. As they knock on the door, they have this beautiful rendition of songs.
That's Carolyn, yep.
You know, for you
mm-hmm.
to just sit and enjoy, you just sit back. I mean, those are the wonderful experiences that we had growing up.
Yes.
And these are
some of the things that the young people in this country miss. And unless they go to the West Indies for the holiday and they stay with the grandparents, you know, or extended family members, they miss out on those traditions. But those days will live with us forever.
And of course, Christmas morning is not Christmas morning without some really good food. You know, first you have to go to church.
Good hot chocolate. Hot dough bread with that the beef or the pork. Oh, that was it, man.
Yeah, if you had to start off with church, you had to go to church Christmas morning
and come back and eat.
Yeah, put on your best Sunday outfit. You know, you go. You can't wait to get out of church just to get home to eat. You know, it was ham and turkey and jug and macaroni pie, rice and peas, you know. So we had the works on the table.
Oh, and I'm telling you, back home, Adrian, I used to make my own ham.
Wow.
We would get the pork leg way in advance, and we get it with the saltpeter and all that stuff. So I made my own ham.
Wow, that is very special.
Well, the next man I marry, I'm telling him I'm not going to be making any more ham, so we probably have to order in from you. I'm finished with those days, man.
Wow.
But anyhow, again, let us fast forward to now, because those precious time during our childhood is what helped us to just appreciate what we have now and not to take it lightly, because it is indeed a privilege and an opportunity to be able to compare now and then. And they both hold special parts in our hearts.
Yeah, I've drawn very close to food in the holiday periods. I've actually done very well with preparing Thanksgiving meals for families. I think it was 2 years ago, I think we did about 26 families, and that's the turkey, anywhere from the turkey to stuffing, whatever the case may be. And it was actually very rewarding to me to know that I can prepare all these meals and ship them off a family at a time. And when we're talking, even if it's 25 families, a family could be 8 people.
That's right, could be 3.
Those are 25 people that can wake up on Thanksgiving morning and just, you know, with heating instructions, open up the oven, put everything in the oven, everything comes out. In 1 hour, you have a full Thanksgiving
meal.
Yes, and, you know, we even got a little adventurous in bringing back some of your flavorings into our mixture and making jerk turkey. So we took jerk turkey, barbecue turkey, deep-fried turkey, and, of course, our traditional rosemary crusted turkey. Yeah. So that's definitely our one of the things that we focus on throughout the holiday period.
Yeah, and it's a blessing when I notice, because I always get your flyers on what you're doing, and I say what a blessing it is, because some people still don't know how to get turkey. Some people's turkey is as dry as a carpet, you know. I said it's a real blessing that you are helping them out in the kitchen, ma'am. because, oh, collard greens and turkey, it's not everybody can cook those two things.
You know, turkey is actually a very easy item to prepare. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it might seem a little bit intimidating because of the size, and you might think, oh, my God, how am I going to cook this whole entire thing, and how long is it going to take? But the average turkey that we prepare, which is about 14 to 16 pounds, you know, in a good oven, it's going to take anywhere from 3.5 to 4, maybe 4.5 hours, depending on your cooking. But
mm-hmm.
for me, I like to start off with the oven nice and hot.
Right.
You know, I start off with the oven hot, maybe 400 degrees, and I cook that turkey until it gets to the color that I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the golden brown color. And
mm-hmm.
then I turn the oven down to about 350 or so, and then I can continue the cooking process. At least I know I've achieved the color that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
At any point throughout that cooking, I could always cover the turkey, whether it's with foil paper or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and continue cooking it without further carrying, you know, cooking it to a different color.
Mm-hmm.
What I used to see people doing, and I never really liked it. You will sell these. Didn't I see in the store? They sell these beautiful, they call it like turkey pans, you know, with a lid and a
the roasting pans. Uh huh.
The roasting pans with a lid.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, for me, that's a really bad way to cook the turkey because although it's cooking in the oven, you're actually steaming the turkey in the pan.
It comes out white and soft. Yep.
Yeah. So you don't get the caramelizations of the sugars on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that golden brown color, that
mm-hmm.
crispiness, and
mm-hmm.
more so you get that steamed turkey. The turkey might be a little softer on the inside, but as an overall product, I don't think it's a good one. So,
tell you my Jamaican way that I get my turkey brown?
How do you get it brown? Some color?
Oh, in a brown bag. You know those large brown bags?
Yes.
You put it in there and you push it and then you cook it for half the time in there and it comes out as brown as anything.
Well, because of the protein in the turkey,
mm-hmm.
in the meat period, with a little salt and pepper for flavoring
mm-hmm.
and some olive oil or some kind of oil or any kind of fat to help conduct the heat.
Uh-huh.
In the oven at a roasting temperature of 350, 375, 400, anything like that, over a period of time, those sugars on the outside of the meat are going to caramelize and give you browning effect. So you don't necessarily have to go into the fancy way of cooking in a bag and a you know or anything like that.
Too old to learn. I'm learning this morning, so it's a good
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You answer all the questions I was going to ask you because you mentioned about a good oven. I was going to ask you what's considered a good oven, and you answered that, and you talk about the degree to cook it. So now we can move on. Let us start at the beginning because we're kind of focusing on Thanksgiving. How do you thaw your turkey, or do you get fresh turkey? I know some people are getting fresh organic turkey, so they don't have to concern themselves about the thawing. But for those people who are getting the traditional turkey from the icebox, what's your recommendation for thawing?
Well, thawing, the proper way of defrosting anything, whether it's turkey, chicken, fish, whatever the case may be, as long as it's coming out of the freezer and you have to bring it to room temperature, the proper way of doing that is under slow running water.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put that product, whatever it is, in a container, a bowl or a pan, whatever the case may be, and slow cold running water,
mm-hmm.
not stagnant water. The water must continue to run, you know, run freely, and that's the best way and the safest way of thawing a product out. Of
mm-hmm.
course, we have all the other ways when we're at home and we're in a jam or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might throw something in a microwave and put it on defrost.
Mm-hmm.
But the proper way of doing it is under slow running water. So with
mm-hmm.
that in mind, proper planning and preparation is what's going to set you up for success. So
right.
You want to know, you know, beforehand, okay, this turkey has been in the freezer for 6 months. You know, it's not going to thaw in 6 hours. You might need a little bit more time.
That's
and also,
right.
Also, that is the one way of thawing it would be on the running water. The other way of thawing it out would be to take it, put it in a pan, and put it in the refrigerator. So you remove it from the freezer,
yep.
which freezes at 32, and you put it in the refrigerator, which is somewhere between 40 and 45 degrees. So with that in
right.
mind, it's going to take a little bit longer to thaw, but it's also within a safe
environment.
A safe environment and out of the danger zone, as we refer to.
Uh-huh.
So there's no opportunity for bacteria to develop
uh-huh.
and for you to, you know, harm your family.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end. So those are the two techniques.
Okay.
The safest one of all is definitely from the freezer to the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's the one I like. That's the one I always do, you know. And you can't just take it out the day before to put it in. You got
no.
to give it a couple of days down there, depending on the size and all of that. Or else when you're ready on Thanksgiving Day to season that turkey, it's still going to be frozen. So now we would like for you to give us the meal, because the listeners are not going to be working on their experience this Thanksgiving. They're going to be serving your meal this Thanksgiving based on your recommendations. So how do they start preparing or providing for the Thanksgiving meal?
Well, for me, preparing in any dish you're preparing, you always have to have a plan. What
mm-hmm.
you're going to serve, what time is it going to be served, how many people.
Mm-hmm.
And for Thanksgiving, you certainly can't start the day off. You can't start the day before. You should start at least 3 or 4 days out. Getting
mm-hmm.
your menu together and start gathering up your ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that most people might be cooking in a home where there's only one oven, and you definitely don't want the turkey to take up all the oven space on the day of Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
or whatever the holiday period is for you. So you want to cook that turkey. As long as you have the refrigeration to hold the turkey after it's cooked,
mm-hmm.
you might want to cook it the day before.
Okay.
And then heat it up the day of. Now,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
some people like to see the turkey hot coming out the oven, which is, as long as you heat it up, it's still going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, then you might want to cook all your other items first the
mm-hmm.
day before that are going to utilize the oven space, and then do the turkey the morning of Thanksgiving. Yes. But
mm-hmm.
I want to just throw out some of the fixings or the sides that we put together on a traditional, for us, what we consider a traditional Thanksgiving meal.
Yes.
And I'm going to read this one just straight off of our website, milescatering.com. That's Miles with a Y. Under the menus, you'll see the Thanksgiving menu. There's the same menu we use every year, and it's been very successful for us. So I want to just read off some of the things that I like. Stuffing is always important on a Thanksgiving meal. I grew up with stuffing, having liver and kidneys, you know, all of those ingredients in the stuffing as one side. But for us, we put apple, chestnuts, and dried cranberry in our stuffing. So we take the stuffing, we add chicken stock to it or vegetable stock. We saute the apples, the chestnuts, and the cranberries with some fresh thyme. And onions on the side, and we saute those until, you know, just for a few minutes, just to bring out the flavor. Then we take the stuffing, we take the chicken stock, and mix it all up together, and that's kind of the base for our stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Already you're talking a lot of flavors. You're talking the cranberry, which has a little sweet. You have the apple, which have a little sweet tart to it. You have the chestnuts, which is going to give it a good flavor, and of course you have the stuffing mix that, you know, ordinary stuffing mix from the store is perfectly fine. Another item we put is butternut squash and sweet potato casserole. And, again, it's baby day today for me.
But that's good. Let them need to know you're a daddy, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm with my children, you know, 90% of the time, so I cherish every moment I have with them. And I'm teaching them how to cook, too.
Good.
My little daughter Samantha, she's always one step away from me when I'm in the kitchen.
Good.
And my son Chase, whenever he's up, he lives in New York. He's very much interested in not necessarily being a chef, but interested in what goes on in the kitchen, just as I was when I was growing up.
That's right.
Yes.
Good.
So,
I'm glad people can go to the website for the recipe, because that was one of the things I was wondering, whether we were going to post it on the blog for them to see. So they go to
milescatering.com. Right.
And go under the menu section, you said?
The menu section. And you have, I don't have recipes there, but I have menus there.
Okay.
So the menus kind of give you a description of what goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very accessible by email off my website. So shoot me an email if anyone wants to know specifically what's going on. But
okay.
I like to know that cooking comes from the heart. It comes from what do you feel. I like to give people kind of guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of, okay, have to be 2 ounces of this and 2 ounces of that. No, just what do you feel makes it good? As long as I give you a good guidelines.
It's the base, because, you know, people will say a lot of times, oh, well, I cooked something and it didn't come out like the recipe say. Not supposed
right.
to come out, because it's going to be dependent on how much love you put into it. It's just a guidance, you know?
There are so many variables. You have the different water. You have the different altitudes you cook at, the different ovens, whether it's gas or electric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many BTUs. So everything is going to be...
What's a BTU?
I think we asked that question the last time. BTUs is British Thermal Units.
Okay.
That with gas stoves, it talks about how much power comes out of the elements when it's cooking. So you can have a range that's cooking at with maximum 17,000 BTUs, or you can have one at 30,000 BTUs.
Good.
Naturally, something that cooks at 30,000 is going to boil water a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We always want the people to know what the acronyms mean. So.
Right, absolutely. So even getting back to our menu, you know,
right.
butternut squash and sweet potato and pineapple casserole.
Uh-huh.
That was one that I took a couple of different ideas and put that together. But even with that product, we cooked butternut squash separately. We cooked the sweet potato. We roast those, and when I'm done, make almost like a mashed potato with it.
You roast it in the oven or the microwave?
Oh, the oven, definitely the
okay.
oven.
Okay.
And then with the pineapple, we grill the pineapples and cut them up into cubes,
mm-hmm.
and then we mix it back into the casserole. So we add some brown sugar, some maple syrup, cinnamon, and mix those three things together. And then on the top of it, we add some Japanese breadcrumbs, some seasoned Japanese breadcrumbs, and roast it in the oven.
Roast the potatoes in the skin, or you peel them and roast them, the sweet potatoes?
I roast them in the skin.
Okay, good.
By doing that, as I cut the potatoes in half and I take the product from the inside, I have 100% usable product on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the crunch or the resistance, you know, as far as a change in texture.
Yep.
Now, if I cook them in the skin, I'll get a good caramelization on the outside. I get good flavor on the outside. But in this particular cooking application, it's not preferred for me.
Yes.
If I was roasting potatoes to serve as roasted potatoes, then cooking them out the skin will be perfect.
All right.
So then, and then as another starch item, we have roasted red, white, and blue potatoes. So with the purple potatoes, we boil those, because when you boil the purple potatoes, it actually retains that big, vibrant, bright purple color. And then with the yellow potatoes and the red potatoes, almost tying back in the American flag colors together, the red, white, and blue.
Uh-huh.
So we take the red potatoes, we roast those in a jacket. We take the yellow potatoes and we roast them in a jacket, and then we steam or boil the purple potatoes, mix them all up together with roasted shallots, with fresh thyme, with onions. We mix them all up together and clarified butter. And that's our starch. Another item is our rice, basmati rice. Basmati rice, yes, very very aromatic rice. Traditionally cooked in the East Indian communities.
Yeah.
But you can find it in any major supermarket, the basmati rice. And with that, we actually.
Adrian, how are you spelling that?
Basmati, B-A-S-M-A-T-I, basmati.
Okay.
And it's also brown basmati rice as well, but we use the white basmati rice.
Okay.
And I cook the rice with I once did a wedding for an East Indian lady a couple years ago, and her mom's name was Dashka, and Dashka came into the kitchen with me for 2 days and taught me how to cook basmati rice. She says, "Adrian, if you're gonna cook for my daughter, this is how I want you to cook the rice."
Wow.
She sat in the kitchen with me, and she went through the whole entire menu with me, and we cooked everything. And from then, she really taught me how to make this basmati rice.
Wonderful.
One of the key things when we're making the rice, I make it with a chicken stock for flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I add cinnamon stick, green cardamom, lemon juice, and olive oil.
Wow.
And I cook the rice like that. And sometimes I even put a little piece of fresh ginger in there as well. And any kind of spice, but the cinnamon definitely brings it out. The cardamom brings it out. And if I was making an East Indian dish, I would add a little bit of jeera to it as well. But we cook the rice separately, and then on the side we saute the fruit, the dried apricots, the cranberries, with fresh thyme, golden raisins, currants. We saute all those in high heat, olive oil, short period of time, just maybe 1 minute, 30 seconds, whatever the case may be, just to hydrate the fruit.
They kind of
open up a little bit.
Yeah.
And with that, we mix it back into the rice. And finishing the rice, we add raspberry vinegar, honey, a tad bit of olive oil, and a little salt and pepper. You mix all those up together, and you get a beautiful, delicious rice. We serve it quite often, so I put it on the Thanksgiving menu just to change it up a little bit from what people are used to seeing.
Wow. Woo! I'm hungry already, man.
On the vegetables, we do two kinds of vegetables, one which is very traditional here, Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew what a Brussels sprout was until I came to America.
We didn't have it either. It's like collard greens. In Jamaica, we call collard greens bush cabbage. What do you call it in Barbados?
Collard greens?
Uh-huh.
Nothing. We is another product that we never really see. We might see collard greens in a can in the supermarket, but
mm-mm.
I don't think they're sold very often.
Yeah, no, we have it grow in Jamaica. We call it bush cabbage. Yeah, but anyway, Brussels sprouts.
But the Brussels sprouts, I just grew up knowing about Brussels sprouts, you know, when I came to America.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Brussels sprouts, I've actually learned to enjoy them as well, because I never thought that I would really, it's like a little baby tiny cabbage, and I never thought I would enjoy it. But with the Brussels sprouts, we boil them first, then we cut them in half and saute them with clarified butter. And with the clarified butter, which is a technique that I learned way back 15 years ago, the proper way to clarify the butter, and that was to take whole butter, put it in a pot, bring it to a boil, reduce it to a simmer or a lazy bubble, and you let the butter, the milk solids separate from the butter fat. So as you continue to cook it, you'll see all of the milk solids fall to the bottom of the pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then come in from behind that cloudy, buttery look is going to be a clear butter. which now has a thing. And now has a transparent and very buttery and nutty kind of flavor. And you also have to be very careful when you're clarifying the butter, because being by all the milk solids fell to the bottom of the pan, now it's very easy for it to burn. And there's a fine line between perfect clarified butter and burned clarified butter. So you have to be careful with that.
You got to be watching it.
Right. But the benefits of having a clarified butter is that it adds, first of all, it increases a smoking point, whereas butter might burn at one temperature when you saute in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've probably brought it close to the same cooking, it can handle the same cooking temperature as probably olive oil. So you've actually removed the butter fast and increased the temperature in which the butter can cook at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with that, and now you add a nutty flavor to it as well.
So you just spin the butter in, or after you boil the Brussels sprouts. Are you like baking it again or sautéing it again with that butter, or you just mix it in?
Now we're gonna sauté it.
So
we get the pan almost to the smoking point. That is where if you put a little oil or butter in the pan, you see it start to kind of move around a little quickly and almost like a hazy kind of movement. That is about the smoking point. So somewhere below that smoking point, we'll add the Brussels sprouts first before we put in the butter, because the butter now becomes a conductor for the heat.
Yep.
We put the Brussels sprouts in. We put the butter and the seasoning. Seasoning is fresh herbs. Lots of thyme we like to use in this dish.
Mm-hmm.
And then we toss that around lightly, and you'll see immediately the Brussels sprouts start to caramelize on the outside, get a little brown. And that's something quick and fast. So we're talking from the time the pan is at a smoking point and you put the Brussels sprouts in till it comes out of the pan. We're talking maybe a minute, minute and a half.
You know, I have a friend, and I'm going to email her to listen to this episode, because she always feeds Brussels sprouts to her children.
Yes.
She always wonder, oh, man, they're eating those Brussels sprouts quickly. But the minute she would turn herself away from them, the kids were sticking the Brussels sprouts under the chair,
wow.
Under the cushion of the couch or something.
Yes.
She's ready to do a real good cleaning. She finds all these Brussels sprouts under the cushion. So I think she can try your recipe and get the kids to really eat the Brussels sprouts.
You know what? I think they'll appreciate it. And even with the children, if to add a little bit more love to the dish for the children, maybe some melted cheese on the Brussels sprouts. And the children would appreciate that as well. But for us, just to maintain the integrity of what we're doing, we wouldn't put the cheese in it. But that's a good variation for the children. So definitely give her that.
I'm here.
Yes. And of course, you know, with this dish, we like to add French green beans, baby carrots. French green beans, you want to be very careful when you're cooking those, any kind of green beans.
Yes.
For us in the culinary field, the objective is the green beans must be green and not brown.
Oh, my God. I'm bright green.
Bright green and a slight resistance to them when you bite into them.
Yes.
Of course, understanding who you're cooking for, that might change a bit. You know, some people,
mm-hmm.
the southerners, like their green beans cooked until you can't recognize them anymore.
Oh, Lord, please.
The French, they must be, you know, crunchy.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like to blanch mine, because I don't want them slipping away from me, you know?
Yes, and that is key. You blanch them, and then you shock them. So blanching, you bring a pot of water, salted water, bring it to a boil.
Mm-hmm.
You add your green beans in it. You bring it back to a boil. You then monitor the green bean until they get to the perfect degree of doneness that you're looking for.
Yes.
And then immediately you take them from the boiling water and you put the green beans either in a pot of cold water or ice water. Or ice water. For me, I like just ice cold, just water from the pipe. Nowadays, the water from the pipe is so cold, it is almost, it's just as good as using just ice water.
Yeah, that's the one I use to come in right out the faucet. And I do the same thing with my, my broccoli, especially over the during the summertime.
Yes.
And I'll have them there, and sometimes I pack lunch to go to my office or something. And that's what I take, just my blanched vegetable with whatever else. And it is so good. The vegetables, we talk about the starches. We spoke about preparing, shopping for the turkey, preparing it, the seasoning you use, the vegetables. Anything else leaving the main course?
Well, that's the, that for us. We add a salad, so a salad could be whatever, and then but I like to also add a soup to the dish as well.
Yes.
And one of the favorite soup, one of my favorite soups to make for this period is butternut squash soup. For me, with the butternut squash, very simple, and butternut squash is good around this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I usually take the butternut squash, about 3 parts butternut squash, and maybe 1 part carrot, because I'm looking for to help enrich the butternut squash color and also add some natural sugars back to the dish as well.
Yeah.
So I take butternut squash, I peel it, cut it up into small cubes, carrots, peel them, cut them into small cubes, onions, just some onions to add back to the soup.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that and I sweat that with a little bit of butter. So I put in a pot, medium heat, a little bit of butter, and those vegetables. You sweat that. And by sweating it, again, I'm always in search of flavor. So I'm looking to extract as much residual sugars from the butternut squash and from the carrots and the onions as possible before I start to boil them. But with
what's
that,
the difference between sweating and steaming?
Steaming is a moist cooking technique.
Mm-hmm.
Sweating is the conductor could be oil, it could be any kind of fat. Whereas steaming is cooking by mist, so cooking by the heat that's coming off of the liquid.
All right.
But just so
the listeners know the difference.
Right.
Because they're going to be emailing or calling, what's sweating? You know, so we just telling them everything.
So we're just cooking it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and then I add a stock. I don't like to cook unless I have to. I don't necessarily like to cook with plain water because there's no flavor in plain water.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will do is any kind of stock, depending on the cooking, whatever I'm working with. In this case, vegetable stock would work very well, or chicken stock would work very well. We're looking for a clear stock.
Right.
So I
want to go back to something I should have probably asked you in the beginning, and it slipped me. What is your preferred salt? I notice you use a lot of herbs, which I love, but if you do use salt, what's your preferred choice? Are you using ordinary salt or are you using sea salt?
I don't necessarily get too fancy with the salt. I use kosher salt, though, as my preferred salt.
Yeah, so that's sea salt. Good.
Right. But some people might want to get a special sea salt with the big... For me, I just keep it simple. I
mm-hmm.
buy the ordinary kosher salt, and in that way I know... It takes a little bit of experience to continue to use the same ingredients and then be able to tell by a touch and by a feel how much to put in. So, if you were to go with a different salt, it might take you a few mistakes for you to really understand, you know, what's going on with the salt. So,
yes,
today your dish might be too salty.
Right, right.
And you don't want that. So I stay with the kosher salt.
Right,
and with that I'm able to control you know, how much I put in the dish.
It's healthier for us too. If and when you have to use salt, you should do that. Yes, so we go with the soup, and we back to the soup. I apologize for cutting into that.
That's
and
no
after you sweat the butternut squash and the carrot and the onions.
Right. Then I add enough stock to cover the product. So depending
uh-huh.
on how much is in there, I add enough stock to cover the product. And then I bring that to a boil, and I let it cook until basically all the ingredients are overcooked.
Yes.
It's going to be a pureed soup in the end. So
mm-hmm.
I cook it until all the ingredients are overcooked. And in
mm-hmm.
that soup, I like to add a little bit of cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to add a little bit of cinnamon stick, not the cinnamon powder, but a cinnamon stick to it, and bring that to a boil.
Mm-hmm.
And I boil
mm-hmm.
it until all the ingredients are fully cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's done, I let it cool, and then I puree that product. Puree,
mm-hmm.
In my kitchen, I might use a food processor, I may use a blender, or I might use a hand blender. Either
mm-hmm.
way, you want to make sure that the liquid is cold, because
mm-hmm.
you can actually, you know, burn yourself if it is not.
Right.
And then when after it's pureed and it is an even consistency, then that becomes now the base for my soup.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, maybe the next day, maybe the same day, or whatever the case may be, in finishing the soup, now I add heavy cream to it.
Ah.
And that's what gives me the creamy texture for the soup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I flavor it now with cinnamon powder, and white salt.
Mm-hmm.
And,
white salt.
Not white salt. Sorry, white pepper. Sorry.
Now, hey, you better wake up, man. All right.
With white pepper. Because now I have a soup that I can identify very well, and I don't want to cloud that beautiful orangey like color by adding black pepper flakes in it. So that's
mm-hmm.
why I would use the white pepper to add
mm-hmm.
add the flavoring back to it, but at the same time, you know, keep the integrity of the soup going.
Good.
And I bring it to a boil, and I thicken it. I add enough cream to it to get the consistency I'm looking for. I don't want it too thick. I don't want it too thin. And I season at the end, and that's a simple but delicious soup.
Wow, wonderful. Adrian, I need to know it's 10:47, and I wonder where the time went. I want to give you an opportunity to just remind the people again how to contact you. And for those people who are saying, I don't want to cook this year, I want to order in and have it delivered, what is the time frame on that they need to get that order into you, and how do they do that?
Well, they have about another week before they can put the orders in completely, by like next Wednesday, then we'll close off all of our orders. But on our website, our address is milescatering.com. That's milescatering.com, one word. And on there's the menu section, and there's the Thanksgiving, the different holiday menus that are there. In addition, there's also an order form as well on the website where you can fill out, you put in your information, you tell me what you want, and we can get back to you in that way. And our phone numbers are on the internet as well as our
email
number and our email address. And our
mm-hmm.
phone number, for the record, is 860-305-0009. And that's 860-305-0009. And that's the one of the other ways of contacting us. So it's either email at info@milescatering.com. Our website is milescatering.com, and our phone number is 860-305-0009.
Good. All right. And I know there got to be dessert, and
yes.
We have approximately 9 minutes remaining. Can we go into dessert, or there's something left out of the main course?
No, desserts. Dessert will be the last item to top off the menu. And what we've found out throughout the years is that when you have people coming by for Thanksgiving, that's one of the items that they love to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you focus your attention on the entire meal, be sure someone would bring you an apple pie, a pumpkin pie, a sweet potato pie, or one of those, you know, peach cobbler, whatever the case may be. But
mm-hmm.
for us, for Thanksgiving, we primarily serve apple pie, a high-top apple pie.
Ah.
And that is the apple pie with the crust on the top, and we brushed it with egg wash and sprinkle some brown sugar on top
mm-hmm.
and cinnamon, and we bake it.
So,
that's our dessert choice. And with
what is your apple of choice for that? Are you using Granny Smith, or are you doing a combination?
Definitely Granny Smith. It holds up very well in baking. Is ideal for cooking. Some of the other apples are great, you know, for other cooking applications, whether it's a Macintosh or the Red Delicious or the Green Delicious. Any one of those apples are all good. However, for baking, you would want to stick definitely with the Granny Smith apple.
Yep.
And you'll be amazed how easy it is to make an apple pie, even with help from the supermarket, for example, with selling you the crust and having.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Majority of the challenges come because people just can't get the crust right. But I mean, now you can pick the crust up in the supermarket, so
yeah,
half your challenge is over.
You can pick the crust up in the supermarket. You blind bake it until it's golden.
Blind baking.
So you just simply bake the crust without anything in it, without the
product. Without the filling.
And there are two ways to blind bake it, depending on the crust. Again,
mm-hmm.
the more you use the crust, the more experienced you are with that particular crust.
Mm-hmm.
But what we would do is take the crust, use parchment paper, put in the bottom of the crust. So we cover the crust with parchment paper on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take rice, regular rice or beans or grains, any kind of grain, and put it inside the parchment paper. And that is used almost as like a weight.
Mm-hmm.
When you're baking. And what that does is stop the air bubbles from coming up in the crust.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice sometimes you bake a crust and there's the air bubbles have pushed from underneath so much that now, you know, there's not a lot of space to put the product
mm-hmm.
the product in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by blind baking it with the parchment paper and with the grains would help keep a weight in the crust, and therefore when you cook it you have, you know, perfectly even crust to now
mm-hmm.
put your product in. And that crust, that same crust could be for an apple pie, it could be for a quiche.
Right.
The same crust.
Good.
Yeah. So, but it's always a pleasure talking to you, Daphne. It's
okay, you still have some more time. You have 7 minutes because we will be speaking until the other guests calls in. So I'm not going to hang up on you yet. We're going to continue speaking until she comes on.
Oh, definitely. I just wanted.
I was hoping she was on because when I told her you were going to be on, she wasn't excited about the Thanksgiving meal. She was excited about asking you about Belgian fish cakes. So she said, "Oh, Belgians make the best fish cake." So I told her, I don't think you would ever get a pure Belgian fish cake out of Adrian. It would have to have an Adrian twist on it. So,
yeah, it would have to have a little touch.
But mm-hmm.
with the codfish cakes, we take the fish, we boil it until we get the salt out. So it might take a couple of times of boiling it to get the salt out.
Mm-hmm.
And we add once it's done. I grew up. I'll divert for a second. Growing up, fish cakes had many different forms and shapes.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you could see the fish. Sometimes you think that it has fish in it. And
so then you wonder where the fish went.
Where the fish went. But for me, when we make fish cakes, I want you have to know that it is a fish cake. So the ratio of fish to flour is way, way bigger than what I grew up seeing. So as far as ratio, we're probably looking at 80% fish, 20% flour. You need a flour to bind it, to
hold the fish together.
Yeah, we need a gluten in the flour to kind of keep the whole product together.
Mm-hmm.
But we use in our fish cakes, we use flour, regular all-purpose flour is fine, fish, scallions, thyme, baking powder, a couple of eggs, and then for our liquid, we add ginger ale, or club soda or Sprite, any kind of liquid with carbonation, and that's gonna help activate the yeast. In the baking powder, that's going to help activate the baking powder and help it work with the product a little bit better. In addition, we always want to make sure that when you're making this product, you make it in an ice bath. So that would continue to more or less retard the yeast, so the yeast doesn't overproduce, and now you end up with too much of an active yeast in your product.
Mm-hmm.
So we cook it in we keep the mixture in a water bath up until it's time water bath meaning lots of ice, little bit of water, one pan on the bottom with the ice in it, the other pan on top of it with the product, and we're keeping it cold in that way, or even in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with that and as far as I grew up with the fish cakes, we're scooping it with two spoons, you dip one spoon in and you scoop it up. But now we got a little bit of fancy. We just use like an ice cream scoop.
Cold ice cream scoop.
Ice cream scoop, yeah, like a half ounce ice cream scoop. If we're gonna use it for appetizers, we just scoop and drop it in the hot oil.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the oil need to cover the product you put in it, so it's kind of deep fried, right?
It's kind of deep fried. It is definitely deep fried. So whatever when the fish cake hits the pan, it should be able to submerge to the bottom, and then eventually it'll flow to the top.
Hmm? Much to it.
And with that, you cannot forget the sauce. With the sauce is 50% ketchup and 50% hot sauce. And for our Bajan hot sauce, it's not like yours. Yours is a little spicier in Jamaica.
Yours is yellow with a lot of vinegar.
Yeah, vinegar and mustard and so on. So
yeah.
we use, and one of the hot sauces we like is the S. Ben pepper sauce. So we use that pepper sauce when we can get it, and 50% hot sauce, 50% ketchup, and that is our dipping sauce for the fish cake. And you can actually make fish cakes to make in abundance. You can make them the day before or days before and freeze them or put them in a refrigerator and then heat them up in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And they heat up very well.
They still come out well, yep.
They're perfect because you already have the product, already done, and it's a perfect product.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up and you're waiting, you go to get some fish cakes from some person and you're waiting for an hour for fish cakes because every time a fish cake come out of the oil is already accounted for.
That's it. Well, Adrian, I tell you, my other guest is right on time, and I know she'll have to pay me for asking you about that fish cake recipe, so she'll have to go listen to the entire episode to get that fish cake recipe. So, Adrian, I want to thank you for coming on and just helping us spice up our holiday kitchen this year. And I am praying that the listeners will leave comments about how the meals were enjoyed in their different families.
Yes.
So I just want to thank you again.
Well, thanks for having me on. And the baby Samantha says hello.
Hello, Miss Samantha. Remind Daddy that he has to make the white chocolate bread pudding for Miss Daphne's birthday for December the 11th, okay? All right, bye, Adrian.
Bye. Thank you. You have a great day, and happy holidays to you and your entire listening community.
Happy holidays to you, too.
Catch us up online. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Adrian. Bye. Well, good morning, Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Daphne. I'm doing well.
Wonderful, wonderful. I knew, I just had Adrian to talk about the fish cake because I knew that was one of the reasons you were excited.
Oh, yes, I am.
Erdy was going to be on, so you have to go listen to the episode to get the fish cake. Well, again, I want to thank you for taking time out to be on the show this morning, but I wanted to take a few minutes and just briefly introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell them as much as you want them to know about who you are.
Okay. I am Judy Henworker. I am I'm married to a wonderful man, Kenneth Henworker. I have one child, Karen, and she's married, and I have a grandchild. And my passion is with dance. Okay, I've been dancing for many years, liturgical dance, and also my passion is with health and fitness. And this is what the health and fitness is my business,
mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful thing to see people healthy. I just love to see people healthy.
Judy, you mentioned about dancing. At what age you started dancing, and also what stage of your life you discovered that I love this thing, dancing?
I started at in my high school years. I enjoyed dancing, so I was in every dance club. I did African dancing. I did some modern dancing, and I just love dancing. It's so beautiful to express what you're feeling in movement. It's so wonderful. And then even as I never had the opportunity to go much into formal training in my teen years and my mid-20s, because there were other things, pressing things in life. But I had the opportunity later on in life to train in ballet and some modern, and then move on to liturgical dancing, which is my passion. My passion is to worship God in dance. So that has been my focus for many years, about 17 years I've been dancing liturgically, and also training others to worship God uninhibited, you know, freely.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, Judy, I have seen you dance more than once, and I can remember quite clear at a retreat that you danced, and as I looked at all the attendees there and to observe their body language, and I knew what the dance was doing to them, and I know when I'm in the presence of your dance how it ministers to me. But as the performer dancing, how does it make you feel when you are dancing?
It brings it gives me a lot of joy. And also, as I dance, I'm bubbling up with that's the only word I could use, bubbling. It's like life just flowing through me, because
mm-hmm.
I picture myself in the presence of God. And I'm created for His pleasure. So when I begin to dance, I see Him just looking down and say, "Oh, that's my girl. That's my daughter. You know, she is giving me pleasure because this is what she was created for."
Yes.
And I just flow with it because I feel his presence in
mm-hmm.
every movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his wind, his spirit mm-hmm. picks me up with every move. As I move my arms, as I move my feet, it's his spirit just giving me more of an oomph. So it's
mm.
not just a lot of technique and
yes,
movement,
yes,
but
yes.
there's the Spirit of God that envelops my dance and lifts me up, and
mm-hmm.
I express to him, I say, I love you, Lord. I
yes,
love
yes.
you.
You know that I'm one of your strongest advocate when it comes to your dance, and, you know, I always say to you that dancing has a special part in every fiber of your being. So when I learned that you stepped out in which to help others understand the importance of dance and how to incorporate it into other activities that they do, especially for the kids, I was overjoyed. So I just want to publicly say thank you for following on God's purpose for your life and to really use it to impact and embrace and advance and add value to our young people. Because when we look in our schools today, they are plagued with obesity.
Yes.
And what you are doing will help to alleviate all of that. So I want to commend you on that.
And I also want to thank you, Daphne, because you are one of my people who really encouraged me to step out in my passion, because there's very few people who come along to point you in the right direction. So I really thank you for helping me, because it's because of you I am in the business that I'm doing right now. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember one evening, and you said you looked at me directly in the eye, and you spoke to me, and you said, Judy, I really believe that you should just focus on your passion, which is dance.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I took me a little time.
Because the Holy Spirit never lies, you know.
No.
A lot of times we run from our purpose and calling, but, you know, God is faithful and the Holy Spirit is persistent. And
yes, he is.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit have people tell us things that we're not ready to receive.
Yes.
But in the long run, when we are obedient and diligent to the call of what God brought us here for, it happens.
Yes.
It is all in God's timing.
And I
didn't do it for Adrian, and I don't want to not do it for you. I want to remind the listeners about the number they can call in, and to let them know that the chat room is also up and running, and the number is 646-915-8166, and they can call in any time during our conversation. If they have a question or a comment or a remark for you, and if any of your past students are there listening, they can call into and let us know what dancing has done for them. So, again, the number is 646-915-8166. Okay, Judy, thank you. So, you have been dancing earlier, because I remember when I just met you, I forget how many years ago, and we talk about even when you were a child, even before you got to high school, you knew there was something about dance and you. You had a connection. So I think it's safe to say it's for your entire life, you knew that this is what God created you for.
Yes. That's very true.
Now you follow through. So God is really pleased with you. He has a big old smile on his face.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm fulfilling my destiny.
Mm-hmm. So now you have trained. I know, I don't know if it's trained or prepare, whatever term you want to use, many young people over the years, because I know for every church that you become a part of, You're always serving in the dance ministry.
Yes.
And what are some of the feedbacks, Judy, that you have gotten from those young people about that?
The biggest feedback I got was like 3 weeks ago, where I was invited to a woman's conference,
mm-hmm.
to minister in dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not aware that some of my the young women that I train were going to minister in dance at this particular conference.
Wow.
So when I got there, they ministered, and the host of the conference, she said, "This is your fruit."
Yes.
"This is your fruit." And the girls were all so excited to see me, because now they are in their early 20s. You know,
mm-hmm.
I trained them when they were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw me doing, when I ministered, they just came, you know, afterwards, and they just grabbed me and they hugged
me. Wow.
And they were so appreciated what I imparted into them.
What a blessing.
And one of them is a leader. She goes to, she's a leader in the dance ministry in her church. So
mm-hmm.
When I was training them, I imparted that they should not only see themselves just, you know, just as a dancer, but they must see themselves as a worshiper,
mm-hmm.
also a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So now she is leading her team,
mm-hmm.
in her church. And there's another young lady that she goes to another church. She called me a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Sister Judy, everything that you taught me, I'm seeing it. You know, I'm so happy of the discipline," because I would always tell them they must train well, they must go
right, and that's what creating legacy is all about.
Yes,
you know, because we are all created here to create legacies. And what are some of the legacies that's going to be left behind us when we are gone? And these are your legacies, Judy.
Yes.
You know, God has blessed you that you are still around to see the fruit of your labor. And that is a blessing. That is indeed a blessing. So let us fast forward to where you are now and the new addition that you have added on. You mentioned about businesses. I know you are licensee in a national franchise.
Yes.
That has been impacting the lives of children. We can speak about those two endeavors. You can separate them.
Okay. Right now, I'm a licensee here in the Danbury area and also New York for a very great curriculum. It's a structured curriculum for preschoolers in bringing, actually in imparting healthy lifestyle habits and fitness to preschoolers, because the whole purpose of it, of this, Daphne, because it's to reach children in their foundation years,
mm-hmm.
by teaching them basic nutrition and also imparting into their lives a fitness lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we see kids right now, they're into the computers, they're into TV and so much, and there's a lot of them are obese, you know.
Nobody goes outside to run around anymore.
No. So this particular fitness and nutrition program was designed for preschool children from 2 to kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
and it includes aspects of dance, gymnastics, sports, and different things that we work with them for half hour. But the thing about this, Daphne, what I like, and I'm so excited about it, that we are teaching the children about their anatomy, about their body parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have a 6-week session that we would just focus on lungs, another one on the bones. So we would teach children what they need to eat so that they would have healthy bones, so that they would make the right choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do exercises so that they would exercise, move their bones, how to work it.
Mm-hmm.
And also we teach them about rest. So because a lot of fitness programs, they tell you to move, but they don't tell you how to have adequate rest.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a 3-part curriculum where we focus on nutrition, fitness, where we incorporate the gymnastic, the dance, and sport skills, and we teach them at the very end of the program, we teach them how to unwind.
Mm-hmm.
And just be, just quiet themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they would be trained even now how not to have stress, how to just put it off.
So because especially now, that's very important, because the stress that the parents are going through are now being passed on to the children, not intentionally, but a lot of times, during conversation between the parents, the kids are hearing things that really they don't need to know. And they sit down and they just take all these stresses on, and it impacts their lives. But this is a very, very impressionable age.
Yes. It's the foundation years, because and we can affect generations, because when we take a look, Daphne, at a 7-year-old child, their eating habits are already formed. Try to change the eating habit of a 7-year-old. It takes so much more effort. And teaching them to move. That's why we are going at the preschoolers, at the foundation years, that we could teach them how to, protect your lungs so that they would not.
Healthy lifestyle.
They wouldn't want to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And they take this knowledge even home to their parents.
Yes.
And tell them, if they see their mom and dad smoking, they say, "Mom and dad, it's not good for your lungs." So it's a little child should teach them.
And they have such wisdom.
Yes.
If we would only listen to them.
Yes.
Yeah, we would gather. Now, this curriculum, you follow them, or the organization follows them through to what age?
We just stop at K, the kindergarten age.
Yes. Okay.
And then, we believe that when we sign a contract, an annual contract with a school or daycare center, we believe that we're going to be imparting so much knowledge in the children, but also we give classroom projects to the teachers so that they could further reinforce what we are teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
So
example, now the students, they graduate, and maybe that's not the word you use, but I'm just going to use it for our conversation today. They graduate kindergarten, and they're moving on to first grade, and the parents is really seeing the difference that the curriculum has made in their lives.
Yes.
Now, can they contact you for a follow-up with a program in which to maintain that lifestyle in their child's life?
I am looking to do something like that in the future.
Definitely. Okay. Okay.
This would be something that I'll do on my own, which is separate to this curriculum,
curriculum. But because
yes.
I asked that question because I know you do private tutoring with
yes.
dances
yes.
and all of that. And if they already have the basic foundation, they would be able maybe to fit into your dance classes and everything.
Yes.
So that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now let's talk about the other aspect of the other business you do.
The other business that I have is a local business, which I bought earlier this year, and it's a Kids Fit business. And it's a business that has been providing creative movement classes for children in the northern Fairfield County for the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the classes that we do a Mother's Morning Out class, which is from 2 to 5, where we it's really a pre-readiness program for preschoolers. So
mm-hmm.
before,
you want to expand on that pre-readiness?
Yes. Before the child goes to preschool, we prepare them with socialization, how they get to interact with others.
Mm-hmm.
We do a circle time with them where we introduce songs and movement to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do a lot of activity where we bring out a lot of equipment like balance beams. We do a lot of just went out from my mind. It's where you jump on it, the trampoline. And all these things, and we let them work out for a good half an hour because
mm-hmm.
the name of the business, which is similar to my national program, is Kids Fit because
mm-hmm.
we believe that when we get children moving, it affects them mentally.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, so after we do a half an hour workout for them, we don't do dance and that, but we have them just work on equipment.
Yes,
and then
yes.
We move them, we have them bring a snack, then we read to them. We
mm-hmm.
have a story time with them, and
mm-hmm.
then we do crafts.
Wonderful,
so,
wonderful.
So this is a two-hour program.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I partner with the Newtown Parks and Rec
mm-hmm.
Department,
mm-hmm.
And this is a one of our most popular programs. Because
mm-hmm.
it really prepares the children. So, because we have kids as young as 2.
Yeah, this is such a powerful investment in our future.
Yes.
You know? Because we're going to find out that all this obesity is going to be less and all of that. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing for families to get involved in.
Yes, and we do also a kids' fit gymnastics class. We do
mm-hmm.
A little ballerina class that I teach. And then we have a superhero class for the
happened
boys.
To the big ballerinas?
Well, I haven't done anything with
pick
the big
it on you.
And then we have some local people. We have an artist in Newtown, Paula Hughes, so that we have them, we have her come in and we teach the children to use their creativity in paint,
mm-hmm.
collage, stencil, and sculpting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a musician. Actually, she's
mm-hmm.
an she performed on off Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and she brings her creativity with music and movement to the children. And
so they see that there's a lot of enjoyment
yes.
that does not entail a video game and all
no.
of that stuff, you know?
No, no, no.
That's wonderful, 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 wonderful.
Yes, and we have one more ready-to-read program where
mm.
we are preparing them again before they go to preschool.
Mm-hmm.
So they get
mm-hmm.
used to it and they feel comfortable and we're teaching them things. So they're developing mentally, physically, emotionally, and socially.
Mm-hmm.
So when, when they leave us, we want that child to be, you know, they must have progressed a lot from just being at home with your mom.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is such a great thing for the young people, Judy. Now, what can we look for in the future where your dancing is concerned? Do you have any immediate plan maybe to do some more work with adult who is really interested in dancing?
Yes. My vision is to raise up companies of worshippers.
Mm-hmm.
So I and my the name of my dance ministry is Created for His Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for students who are really serious about worshiping God in dance, and I would train them, and help them to go to another level, but also train them to open their own ministry, their own dance ministry.
Mm-hmm. Are you interested in having people who are green, or do they need to have at least some little skills in dancing? What's your preference?
Once you have a passion for something, you could learn.
All right, so listen up, people. You just need to have the desire and the willingness. And she's going to help you to manifest that passion for dance that is laying inside of you.
And also, Daphne, I am open to come to people's church or ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to, think that they have to come. I am mobile. I
mm-hmm.
come, I would do workshops with you. And I
mm-hmm.
do, dance classes with you.
So in order for you to come to go to someone's church for a workshop or a dance class series, do you have a maximum or minimum amount numbers of participants that you like to work with?
I like to work with 12.
Mm-hmm.
12 maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And a minimum of 4.
Okay.
Because, the smaller your group, when you, I don't want to have too many people,
mm-hmm.
especially some people are greenies, and
mm-hmm.
I'm training you
mm-hmm.
in a dance technique, but also I'm teaching you the art of worship.
Mm-hmm.
To really worship him from a biblical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just like you come in and I just give you a few things and you go out. When you leave from my workshop, when you leave from my classes, you're leaving well trained.
Mm-hmm.
To be at the point that you could begin to worship God at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And expression.
The other question I want to ask you, are your classes mainly for female, or you welcome male as well?
Well, I would say mainly for female because I have worked mostly with females. I have attempted, honestly, with males, but somehow, some of them, their egos get into the way. They just don't unwind,
But let's say there are some men out there whose egos aren't in the way, and they understand that, listening to that conversation with Judy and Daphne, I just got an awakening that I was created to worship God through dance. And if there are those men out there who are listening to us and they approach you, would you be willing to include them in what you're doing?
Of course.
Okay.
Because the scripture says there's neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
when we worship, He sees us. He's seeing our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want somebody to be listening who is a male that God has been speaking to for a long time about worshiping him through dance. And because of the ones whose egos got in the way, they are being deprived of manifesting their greatness. So we just want you to know that you are open and they can call you. Then we are actually at the halfway mark. I would like for you to take this time and tell the listeners your contact information. You can give them your, if you use telephone or email, and if you have a website for them to look at, would you please do that now?
Yes. I'll give them my website for my national program. It's globalkidfit.org.
So it's globalkidfit.org.
Yes.
I'm sitting here relaxed, and I need to get that into the chat room. So let me do that. It's
www.globalkidfit.org.
All right.
And then for my my local business,
mm-hmm.
if they would like to take a look at that, is similar. It's Kids, K-I-D-S.
It's www.kidsfit.
kidfitct.com.
.com.
Yes.
Here you have both websites.
And I could give you my business number.
Uh-huh. What's that?
It's 203.
203.
312.
312.
0470.
0470. All right, so.
And let me give you one more thing, Daphne.
Yeah.
My email address.
Mm-hmm.
For the Global KidFit is just as it is, globalkidfit@aol.com.
Your email is what?
Globalkidfit.
GLOBAL
Fit. AOL.com.
At AOL.com.
Yes.
All right. So there you got it, listeners. The website for the national program is globalkidfit.org.
Yes.
And the other one is the local program is www.kidsfitct.com.
Yes.
And the phone number to reach Judy is 203-312-0470. And her email is globalkidsfit@aol.com. So,
yes.
You can still call in to ask her some questions. You can follow up on the email and just go to the websites and get more information. And also send that information out to people you know so that people can think about keeping their kids healthy because it is really cheaper than going to the doctors, I'm telling you.
Yes. And
so...
One thing I wanted to add, Daphne.
Yes.
Especially for my my national program.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing this is a time of recession, I am looking for instructors to do that program who I will train.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a $25 an hour, so I'm looking for instructors in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That they could contact me and I could tell them more about how to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great part-time income.
You know something, Julie? I just want to publicly disagree with something you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you are looking for the instructors because it's recession.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are looking for instructors who are as passionate as you are.
Definitely. Definitely.
Changing the lives.
Yes.
Children.
Yes, because you got to love children.
Exactly.
And you got to love being fit.
That's right. So it has nothing to do with recession.
Yes.
Trust me. That has nothing to do with recession. But if they have a love and a passion for serving children and to see them better their lives and to really have a take in helping you establish the legacy that you are set out to create, then they need to call you.
Definitely.
It has nothing to do with the money you're paying them and whether it's recession. It has to do that they're going to look and say, well, here is a woman that is doing something that I've wanted to do all my life.
And
you know, you probably find God speak to the hearts of people who want to help you in this mission, who really don't even want a dime for their service.
It's true. And that's how you know when you're called to do that.
That's right. That's right.
When you could do it without money.
Just the love of it and say, well, I want to be part of that dream. I want to be part of the vision. I'm tired of seeing obese kids. I'm tired about kids locking up inside the houses and not coming out to get any fresh air in their lungs and all of that. And
yes,
there are people out there like that. So I don't want people to think that, oh, the recession is not affecting me, so I don't have to call her.
Yes.
I want them
Thank
to call you because they believe in the dream and the vision that you are now manifesting. Yes, so we have we have 23 minutes remaining.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes is going to be yours and 3 is going to be mine for me to do my closing remarks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since you have started these two kids' program, what are some of the feedback and improvements that you have seen in the students' lives?
I have seen children come in who, you know, was so shy and, you know, so clingy to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But when they leave all excited.
Wow.
Especially for, you know, even I've seen kids who have attended my little Miss Ballerina class.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in and they would, you know, sometimes it's a drop-off program.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes because they don't know what to expect. This is your first ballet class, and the parents would actually have to stay with them. But at the end of the class, they become so expressive. You know, in part of my classes, I say, you know, just after I've taught them, I say, just enjoy it, be yourself, dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen these children come out more confident.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I impart into these little girls' lives, this is just
mm-hmm.
one part,
yeah.
I said, you are special.
Yes.
You are beautiful. You
yes.
are a princess. And sometimes some kids, it's hard for them to say.
Yes.
When you impart, we got to impart life.
Yeah, you have to reinforce it. Let me ask you something, Judy, and I don't know whether you do this or not. You know, with the kids getting clingy at the first class and all of that, I would think that is rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about doing a pre-orientation prior to the first drop-off a class?
No,
where the parent would take the child over, show the child the environment, introduce the child to you and your staff, and let them know, beginning Monday the 10th, I will be dropping you off at such and such a time for such and such a period.
Well, actually, I had that done last week because for my local program, Kids Fest in Newtown, some Brookfield moms heard about the program, the programs in Newtown, and they don't have anything like that. So I suggested that they come, speak to my teachers, let the children, observe a little bit.
Yes.
And they came, and they were very happy. So now they're going to be, they came last week, so they're going to be attending my winter classes because this class is already in session.
Yeah, because this way it helps to build the child's confidence level and give them a sense of security.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just being dropped off to these people. At least I met them before.
Yes.
Because even we as adults, we have our prejudices and our insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for children.
And that's what I tell the parents, it's the same as for adults. Could you imagine for the little ones just to leave them? And
that's right. So I think you ought to have, if there's a way where you could probably do an orientation and maybe even have more of the families there. So the kids are kind of meeting some of the kids before.
Yes.
It just makes it more pleasant for everyone involved, I would think.
I like that, because what you're saying to me is to have a more formal orientation. When I say formal, I do it for parents who, maybe from a different, town or whatever.
I think it ought to be for everybody.
Yes.
Because we look, it's not the parents, Judy, it's these little kids.
Yes.
And look, let us put a networking meeting. Let us use this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
How often you go to a networking meeting where it's the first time you go in, you walk in the room and there's 15 people. And all of a sudden your eyes start wondering, do I know anybody here? Do I know anybody here?
Yes.
And we are grown people.
That's true.
Put those little children in there. I mean, yes, your mom is taking there to drop off, but there is somewhere down there you're thinking, are these people really safe?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something for thought.
I like this idea, Daphne. I'm writing this down right now.
Good. Because the Holy Spirit gave it to me for you, so.
Yes, I thank you so much.
Yes. I am just so excited about the new direction that God is taking you into, Judy. And I know that these families, they are going to be seeing their kids enriched and empowered, because these kids are going to be the ones that help to change some of the parents' lives.
Yes, because they're taking what they're doing. They're taking what they're learning home to the parents. They're changing eating habits. And what I forgot to mention also with this national program, we even have every 6 weeks we have. Like healthy recipes that we print out and we send home to the parents, and also a quarterly newsletter.
Good.
Our fall newsletter talk about depression in preschoolers. Could you imagine that there is depression in preschoolers, something
of
that
course.
Is overlooked?
Yes.
Yes.
Because people think, the kid's not going to work, they don't have a job, they're not paying no bills and stuff, they don't get stressed out. Oh, please, wake up and smell the green tea.
Yes.
Because, the kids go through the same stuff and we just, pass them over because we think those things don't affect them. So it's good that you're really penetrating that and sending information out.
Yes, and it's all about to prevent different things, to prevent the childhood obesity, to prevent childhood diabetes and early heart disease. All these things are affecting children as young as two. So if we could, you know, could save not a generation, but generations.
That's right.
I've been talking about the healthcare system in America. If
mm-hmm.
we could just impart healthy lifestyle.
That's right. And healthy lifestyle is a choice.
Yes.
I know we can all choose it. It is a choice that we all need to just accept that we got to do. You know, it's just last week I went into town. And Judy, every day that we wake up is such a magnificent day for learning.
Yes.
I went into town and I was talking to a lady and I saw a vegetable. I had no idea what the vegetable was.
Mm-hmm.
So she said it's something called parsnip. I still don't know what it was.
Yes.
And I kind of scrunched my face up. I said, I don't know what that is. She said, oh, do you want to taste what it tastes like?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, here. And she gave me to taste. And it was something, Judy, that she made with curry.
Wow.
She included the parsnip, turnips, green and red peppers, I think butternut squash, and sweet potatoes.
That sounds lovely.
Some leeks.
I want to try it because, you know, I like
it. Some leeks. Judy, that thing was out of the world.
And it's all vegetables. Guess
what? You know your friend.
Colors.
I had to come home and I had to cook that thing.
Yes.
And I told my other friend I was going to give her some, but I put too much pepper in there. I don't think that girl can eat so much pepper. So I tell her I'll make her a second batch. But I'm saying, I'm eating it and I'm saying, God, look how healthy this is for me. Nobody would know there's no meat in it.
Yes.
So, you know, we
but
can choose
open, and
stop
open.
And modify our lifestyle at any stage
yes.
of our lives.
And God has created our body
mm-hmm.
so resilient. It's amazing, Daphne, that as soon as we begin to put the right foods in, it's the body. It makes such an adjustment. It comes
mm-hmm.
in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything feels better.
That's right, Judy. Because you know something, I grew up in the West Indies. My father was a farmer. So I grew up on what people now call organic. At the time
yes.
in the country, I didn't know nothing about organic. I just know Papa plant the food, and we harvest it, we eat it.
Mm-hmm.
We go out and we pick the fruit off the tree. There was no fertilizer, no nothing. Whatever he peels, and that goes back in the soil and all of that. And I was saying to my friend last week, girl, it's a good thing I have a solid base. Because now, when I choose not to eat right, it still does not affect me as severely as the person who really don't have a solid base.
And it's coming back to foundation, Daphne.
Yep.
Where we,
yep. Yep.
And your foundation is you had such a good source of things coming in your body. Your bones were well formed.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
Not a lot of chemicals that the children and fast foods. You didn't
That's
know
right.
About
and
that.
Which is what you are now doing for these kids.
Yes.
Because I look back, I'm over 60, and I tell people I still have my adenoids and my tonsils in, and they say, what?
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And it is such a blessing, Judy. It is such an amazing thing. Judy, you have 8 minutes remaining. I would like for you to please summarize our conversation. What do you want to leave the listeners with? What do you want them to focus on about a new choice of a lifestyle? I know you are, your concentration is on children, but the parents can themselves benefit from this too. So what do you want to leave them with?
What I want to leave parents and people with is that to look at your bodies as the temple of
mm-hmm.
God. Sometimes pay more attention to our cars, putting in the right gasoline.
Mm. Mm.
When we look at our temple, this body was created to last a lifetime. They say we should even live to 120 years.
Mm.
Start looking at your body as a temple to last a lifetime. So every time you go to make a food choice, think of that. Think about the vegetables, as Daphne was just saying. Think about the good things that you want to put in your body to strengthen your bones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like the calcium that you get in yogurt, you get in cheese. Things to build your muscles, the vitamins that you get from in the vegetables, the vitamin A, you know, the vitamin C in fruits, which are cleansers. And the minerals that you get in just a banana, a potassium. So think of putting in the right things, because you want to get the right results that your body could move, and get up and move.
Mm-hmm.
If you if you can't go to the gym, you could walk.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You know, so get into a healthy lifestyle. You don't have to be drastic. If you like fast food, you just reduce it. If you go 3 times a week, start reducing it by one.
Mm-hmm.
And just go to your grocery and pick up fresh fruits and not eating processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on nutrition, things that will strengthen the body. And move. Do anything to move. While you could do gardening, you could while you're doing your housework, you could bend, move, because your joints were made to move, not to be sedentary, you know, just sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing, adequate rest.
Yes.
You know, the heart needs to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain needs to rest. You need to get like a good minimum of 5 to 6 hours of sleep, just to rest, unwind. It's okay to just walk out and smell the roses. Just enjoy your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of living for a long time, you know.
Yes, and team up with people. You know, and walk, and because you can I'm sure you can find somebody you like to talk to.
Yes.
Team up and just walk and just enjoy your surroundings.
Enjoy life.
You know, I remember years ago, Judy, when I used to work at a group home, I had a client who was mute, but he and I used to like to go walking, and when it was in Danbury. And when we would pass close to the homes that there were beautiful gardens, he would always take my hand and pull me into the people's yard.
Yes.
And when his sister came to visit from Florida, I told her, she said, oh, because when my mom was alive, they always did gardening.
Wow.
And he still, it made an impact on him, and he always wanted to enjoy that.
Yes. And
it
provides so much stimulus for people, you know.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
God's
creation, and it's free.
You know, they always tell us eat closer to the ground, and I really didn't understand what that. It took me a while to figure out what that means. No, it's not like putting your plate on the ground, but the things that God creates for us.
Go back to the you know, the natural food.
Yeah, go back to basics.
Yes.
Go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out of the metal cans. Go to basics.
Yes.
To basics. You know, this is one of the beauty with living in Connecticut, and specifically in New Milford.
Mm-hmm.
We can always drive around any of the surrounding towns here, and we see vegetable stands, we see fruit stands where we serve ourselves and put the payment in the cash container. But so long as you decide to move in your community, you can always get fresh fruits and vegetables. And it is really a blessing to be able to have that. I want you to once again, Judy, give out your website and your email address, and your phone number, and I just thank you for joining me. So go ahead and do that again.
Okay. My national business is www.globalkidfit.org. And my local business is www.kidsfitct.com. And my business number is 203-312-0470. And you could email me at globalkidfit@aol.com.
All right, Miss Judy. Well, thank you. You have time to give one closing thought.
My thought is that it's to change generations.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to change generations, and so childhood obesity, childhood diabetes, and heart disease is not the norm.
All right. All right.
And thank you, Ms. Daphne.
I thank you too, Judy. I just want to do a little housekeeping here, and then we do the closing song, so you can still hang around for
yes.
the end of that. And just in case somebody else call in, you know, sometimes people always wait for the last minute to call in because I don't want to talk too long. I don't like to hear my voice, they say sometimes. So I want to thank you. I want to thank all the listeners and all the people in came in the chat room. I want to thank you for that. I hope that you enjoy both episodes today because Adrian, Chef Miles before, gave you a healthy way of preparing your Thanksgiving meals. And now Judy's talking about some of the things that we can do to make a difference in the children's lives. So I thank you for listening to the new day. I want to remind you to go to my website, www.clarkhudson.com, and please pick up a copy of my book and keep watching for some programs that I'm coming up with. Keep coming to the website for the show, and I have some amazing guests that is line up because you all know here that my vision is to change our world by transforming one life at a time. And I need your feedback. I need your comments and your remarks on the show. Please mark my show favorite so you can be continuously be informed about the guests that I am having on. Remember that you were created for greatness. And when you set out to follow your destiny, you have to remember that you were not created for mediocrity, but for excellence. I love and I thank you. Again, I thank both of my guests, Chef Miles out of the Hartford area and Judy Han Worker for Danbury. Thank you. Stay blessed and God bless you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? And the plan you have.
you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I'm here for. Oh, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight.